To end off today, an update on space. And you'll recall that we took a look at the future of Australia's space-related industries back in early November last year. Well, since that time, there's been quite a deal of movement at the station, or launch pad if you prefer. So, here to update us is Background Briefing's Ian Townsend.
Acquisition console, select acquisition input.
Acquisition input selected.
AT full time.
Minus 1 minute in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Space used to be the domain of governments and telecommunications companies, but if you're a small to medium-sized business, you may soon be able to put your own satellites up there. South Australian businessman John Douglas owns a satellite imaging company called Apogee in the Adelaide Hills.
The satellites are getting smaller and smarter. We now talk about nanosatellites. You know, satellites used to be half a tonne or a tonne in remote sensing, and they used to cost a billion or two. Now we're talking about the little rabbit eye constellation of things, you know, not much bigger than a large fridge that might cost 20 or 30 million each. And now we're talking about nanosatellites that, you know, like you could hold in your hand with special sensors. You chuck a cluster of these things up and they last for 3 years or 2 years, and by that time they're out of date anyway. So we should not be thinking about what was great in the past. We should be getting on the train. So if making nanosatellites for, you know, $50,000 a piece, but those nanosatellites in a constellation worth, say, $500,000, can produce data over a whole continent that's worth $100 million, I know which part of the business I want to be in.
The federal government's trying to get back into the business too, and it's developing a space policy this year. In 1967, Australia became the fourth nation to launch a satellite from its own territory, but since then we've fallen behind. The director of the Institute for Telecommunications Research at the University of South Australia, Alex Grant.
We have some collaborations and we do things with other international partners, but we haven't really held up our end, what you might expect of a developed nation in terms of getting things into space. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean launching rockets out of Australia and having astronauts and a big space program and contributing to the International Space Station or things like that. But, you know, there are things that have been achieved by countries with a similar population and GDP as Australia.
Such as Canada, which has a dozen satellites and a space program that earns billions every year. Unfortunately, Australia's space industry is so small it's almost invisible, and we rely heavily on foreign satellites. But space is fast becoming indispensable to modern life. Everything from mobile phones to our social lives and farming to currency exchanges are now linked to satellites. The space economy is about to boom. But there are other good reasons to be up there too. 2 weeks ago, British businessman Richard Branson sent his passenger spaceship on its maiden voyage. It was a test run, and it didn't get into space this time. But the idea is to send more than 300 paying passengers 100 kilometres above the Earth, maybe later this year. In Canberra, the chairman of the Australian Space Industry Chamber of Commerce is Brett Biddington.
You certainly do see the curve of the blue planet. You certainly see the atmosphere. You certainly get that sense of fragility that so many astronauts have talked about. And that I think, given a group of people who have experienced this, a sense of just how the whole world is actually one system. And if you do interfere with one part of it significantly, it is bound to have an effect somewhere else.
Brett Biddington, and that report from Ian Townsend. Now, to hear more of Ian's package, don't forget to tune in to Background Briefing this Sunday morning on Radio National. It's right after the 9 o'clock news.